two giant goofballs is shot live in front of a streaming audience.
Welcome to Two Giant Goofballs, a New York Giants podcast. Are you a goofball that loves Giants football? If so, sit back and relax.
Except you, that person driving. Sit up and keep your eyes on the road.
Your ears, though, can still listen as we talk about the team that both excites and frustrates us so much. And now, here are your goofball hosts, Drew and Rob.
Welcome, fellow goofballs, the Two Giant Goofballs New York Giants podcast. I am Drew, joined as always by...
I'm Rob. And let's talk about that O-O-O-line.
The inside O-line. Oh, yes, the inside O-line. O'Reilly's Auto Parts sponsor, but okay.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, seriously, if they want a sponsorship, feel free to message us at 2GiantGoofballs@mail.com. We haven't done that in a while. Today we're going to talk about the inside offensive linemen, guys. We go through each group. We're going to be the first one to say this is not the sexy group. I know it's not that sexy. You know, if this was the swimsuit calendar edition here, it'd be like, you know, May, where it's not quite summertime, where it's not quite warm to go to the beach, but it's not quite wintertime, and you need to get presents. It's just somewhere in the middle. November. No, November getting presents soon. You can eat a big turkey. It's okay. It's a good month.
It's more about the stuff around it, not so much the centerpiece.
You're the guy who reads that magazine for the articles, aren't you?
There's some great jokes in there.
They didn't make that, man. I think Playboy's gone, isn't it? It's not going to make that anymore.
I think so. I know.
I think it's just a website now.
I don't know.
I don't pretend to be an expert on it.
People buy for the articles. Connor, where are you at?
he's like, after that, I buy it for something else. Yeah. All right, guys. So, I got to be honest with you. This is not a sexy group. And we're doing the worst sales pitch ever for this episode, by the way. It's not a sexy group. It's also not a very well deep and talented group either. We talked about the tackles there a couple weeks ago. There's a huge amount of tackles. And some of these tackles that we talked about, like you said, might even get converted over to become guards. Part of that is because there's not a lot of great guards out there. There's a couple of them. There's a couple of great centers. There's actually a better group of centers than there are guards, as weird as that sounds. I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of the guys that are centers actually get drafted and then converted over to be guards for somebody who needs a guard. I know that some of them already had that talk there. So, including the Giants talking to one specific that we'll talk about there in this episode about converting over to guard. It happens. So, and some of these guys were former guards even. So it's actually not as crazy a move as it sounds. So, we're going to start off with the guards here for you guys here. And we got eight guards that we're going to talk about. I know it's a very random number here, but we're talking about eight guards here today. Once I started going past that, there were so many guards that are in that next tier at that point that it was hard to figure out which one I want to go with. There's so many that are close together as far as, you know, talent-wise there. So we went with the top eight. And the first one, number eight, Loudon Robinson. Oh, yes. And everything's bigger in Texas, including their guards, as Loudon Robinson is 6'4", 315 pounds. That's a behemoth of a man. 22 years old, played 12 games in 22, played another 11 games last season there with a 65.8 PFF. So not the greatest. And this is what I'm saying. Literally, this guy made the list at 65.8 PFF. When I say that this is not the most impressive group in the world, I wasn't kidding. Played right guard entirely his entire career. As far as pros, he's quick off the snap, strong, good use of hands, and a good pass blocker. As far as the cons, his run blocking is really 100% what's made his PFF so low. It's not the best, that's for sure, to put it nicely. Yeah. Just not very athletic overall. He's fooled by stunts. He's not good in open space, which is where really his issues come in the run play. You know, I feel like there's people that have easy, good fundamentals that can pass block very well. It's like you just sit there and don't let someone get past you. To me, it's a much easier thing to pass block. It almost befuddles me when somebody who's an interior offensive lineman has trouble. you start talking tackles, now it's different. You got to guard the edge. You got to stop people from getting outside of you, that kind of stuff. But when you're a center or a guard, it's very simple.
No, you got your lanes. You're in the center lane.
No one gets past you. You know, protect the A and B gap at that point. That's all, you know, protect your left and right. That's all that matters. You know, whereas when you're running the ball, now they got to move. They might have to pull. They have to go. They might have to shift over to the stop the tackle so the center can go and stop the other tackle on the side. It's like there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of more moving parts to it overall. So it's a lot more complicated. So I'll say this. When I got a guy who's good at pass blocking, that tells me there's ability. It's a lack of, to me, lack of knowledge and a lack of, you know, finishing and honing your craft, so to speak. And when you're 22 years old, I can forgive that to a certain degree, but it's got to be really, really good. You know, when I see that pass block, I'm not sure it's that good out of Robinson. So I think where he's going to end up is more of a backup guard in this league who might get the occasional spot start because of injury or desperation.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I see it. Like, you're looking more of a he's almost like a brick wall.
Yeah.
He's, you know,
yes,
doesn't really move so well, but.
Except Mexico's not paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Maybe the Patriots will.
No. No, like I said, he's got it. Listen, this is a guy that if you're a pass-heavy team and you think you can teach him, somebody might take a shot at developing this guy. But he's a developmental prospect is what he is. You know, I got a day three grade on him overall. I could see him going anywhere in day three and nothing would shock me. You know, probably towards the higher end, like a round four, round five kind of thing there. But this is a guy that, again, if you think you can train him to run block better and you can get him up to where he's a respectable guard, then go for it. But you got to know there's going to be time in that. It's not going to be, this is not the guy you draft and just plug in a right guard. And you go, okay, I got my right guard of the future. I'm good to go. Like, you're going to have to let him sit on the bench for a year or two, hone the craft, learn to get better, and then hopefully have him take over. Like, this is almost like the move you make if, let's say, you have a guy who's like 1 or 2 years away from free agency and you want a cheaper option sitting behind him.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, that's
exactly what it is. Like, and that's why he's going to go to day three. And I wouldn't even be surprised if he falls to like mid. He might go higher he might just go higher just because of the lack of depth.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You're talking about the eighth best guard, and we're saying he's a day three talent. You're not wrong. It's crazy. Some people will potentially reach, you know, if the guys ahead of him are gone at that point there. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I got issues overall with him. I just feel like I said, to me, the pass protection is not that great that I'm like, oh my God, I can ignore how bad he is at run blocking because he's that good at pass blocking. And that's the biggest issue I have with him. If you were a stud at one, I could forgive the one being not so good. But when you're okay at the one and good at the one, but not great, and the other one's bad, like I said, and that's why he's going to fall to day three, I think, in my eyes. We'll see. I've been wrong before. Who knows? Somebody might fall in love with him. Someone might say, okay, I talked to this kid. I fell in love with his personality. I think he can learn pretty quickly. You know, he picked up what we were putting down in the interview, that kind of stuff. You know, you never know what happens behind the scenes and that stuff there. You know? So, all right.
Yep.
Number seven. Oh, yes.
Seven.
Not to be confused with 7-11. Javion Cohen. Oh, yes. And he may be a little confused there going, wait a minute. Hold on a second here. In the photo, he had a University of Miami jersey on. In the videos, he had an Alabama jersey on. And that's because he went to both. He played last year at Miami, but prior to that, he played 3 seasons in Tuscaloosa. Roll Tide.
Alabama.
Alabama. I love messing with Alabama fans. Am I the only one? If I see an Alabama fan, I have to say Roll Tide. So I just get all excited and say it back. It's hilarious. It's like they can't even help themselves. It's like you. It's like going to somebody like, oh, you're an Alabama fan, huh? Roll Tide. They're like,
Roll Tide. Can't not do it.
You have to troll. It's almost like Russell Wilson last season or 2 seasons ago. Let's ride. No matter how bad they were doing, let's ride.
Listen, they've been doing pretty good for quite a while. Anyway, Cohen's 6'4", 305 pounds. Now, this is another one of those rare cases where literally nobody lists his age online. It's really weird to me when that happens. I don't understand why some places just don't have ages on people. And literally, I look everywhere. I look Wikipedia, I look Pro Football Reference, which has they have their college version as well. I forget the name of that one off the top of my head. But they have a college version of it as well. PFF, all these different websites. I'll even just search like Javion Cohen age and like nothing comes up. It's the weirdest thing. What I can tell you is he started college in 2020. So what that tells you is he's probably born around 2002 or around there. So that would put him around 22 years old. Again, give or take a year, the direction at that point there, depending on when he was born and that kind of stuff. Anyway, played in 12 games in 22. Played in 12 games of 23 as well, with just a 59.4 PFF grade, guys. Really poor PFF grade there. And a lot of it was the tape at that point there. You look at it and you watch him play. And I think, honestly, we talked about it before, where sometimes there's guys like, Lloyd at USC, the running backs. We talked about him, moving from South Carolina to USC, and that was a great move for him. I think Cohen going to Miami was a bad move. I think him going to a team like that and having to learn to block with these guys like that, I think I think it just didn't work out. I think it just was a bad move. Because I go back to his Alabama tape, and to me, it was better. I'm not saying it was stellar, but it was better. And I think he had issues just not knowing who was around him as much at that point, not having that level of trust like that you develop being on a team together for a couple of years. I think he just wasn't as comfortable for whatever reason. Plays left guard specifically. As far as the pros, good footwork. He's smart. He's agile. He's good on pulls. So this is a guy that has the things that you can't teach. And that's part of what puts him up there in this category, even with the horrible tape he had last year. Good footwork. You either got it or you don't. It's like when you go at the dance floor and one guy looks like a fool, one guy looks like he knows what he's doing. You either got that or you don't. I don't.
Yeah, Drew, when you go out there, when you got two left feet, yeah.
I don't have two left feet, but I do get drunk and break dance, do all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I actually did that last time I went to a club. I was like, here, hold my beer. I broke dance in the middle of the floor. It was fun. You're like, what is this guy doing? Oh, I didn't have the cardboard. I wish I did. I've made it so much better. But, like I said, having good football IQ, you have it or you don't. Having good footwork, you have it or you don't. Being agile, you are or you aren't. These are things you can't teach. And that's what, like I said, puts him on here. Now, the cons for him, he's got short arms, even for a guard. And they kind of hurt him to a certain extent there. And he's not overly aggressive at the snap. And he's not overly aggressive in general. You want that mean streak at that point in a lineman. He just doesn't have it. Now, I'm not sure, again, if that is something that could be trained. You either have it or you don't, typically, with that as a personality trait thing. I just think he's going to struggle at the next level, and I think he's probably going to be relegated to a backup. But I'd actually be curious to see what he could do at the center position, and I have heard some rumors that some people would want to actually convert him over to a center and see if having those shorter arms, putting him more inside helps. Because you got more help on the outside there with the two guards on both sides, opposed to the tackle is trying to watch the edge there at that point. Like I said, I've seen that been thrown up. I don't know if anybody's actually put him at the position to see what he can do yet. But again, he's got some good traits that you can't teach. And I think, again, we talked about with Robinson. If you feel like you've talked to him and you feel like he's understanding what you're trying to teach him, when you're in interviews process and stuff like that with them and you want to take the shot, there's not a lot of great guards in this draft. Sometimes you have to go with your gut instincts. If you were going, come into this draft going, I need a guard. I top ones are gone. Who we got left and who interviewed very well and who do we think is teachable? Who's a guy that we think we see potential in?
Yeah, they may look like at the Alabama tape and be like, wow, this guy's a stud.
And they go back freaking Bama.
And they go back to Miami and be like, oh, maybe the guy partied a little too much, but he shouldn't have been partying. Or maybe this guy didn't gel with the team that he went over to.
Yeah, you never know what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, so like the interview will definitely help that break that down. But
Break it down.
Break it down. Break it down.
But yeah, I mean, that's where this is where a lot of that background stuff that we don't have access to is what makes the difference. I have him also as a day three selection as well. And again, where he's going to go in day three is going to depend on probably on just that, where those interviews were and how people thought of him personality wise, how coachable he thought he was, that kind of stuff.
And also how fast a couple of these other guys are going.
Oh yeah, and
I'm not saying I think going to go fast, but
I think some guys will actually go faster than they should purely because of the fact that again it's a weak class. I think you'll start seeing some people go, okay, there's only a couple of good guards left, so we got to take one now.
I was about to say there's going to be desperation picks.
Yeah, and I don't mean the Calvin Klein.
Oh geez.
Next up, we have Trevor Keegan. I got to say.
Michigan State, no surprise there.
Michigan, not Michigan State. You love to say Michigan State. That's a different uniform. Their uniform is green, goddammit.
You're 100% right. Oh, my God.
You're not a Spartan. They're a Wolverine, goddammit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop it, bub.
Yeah. Hey, bub.
Everybody's on the X-Men 97 thing now. But, yeah. I got to say, I don't look at a lot of stuff as far as personality, marketability kind of stuff when it comes to a lot of the players when I look at them, and I like to just look at, okay, how good of a player is he? Side note before we get into that, whoever gets this guy, he's got a goddamn personality. This is a guy that's going to be like that guy that's like your offensive lineman that's not spectacular, but people just love because he's crazy and does and says stupid shit. That's what he's going to be. You notice him in the thing with the whole in the video and all with the thing, and he's got the eye black all over his eye and his cheeks and everything like that. Like, this guy's got a personality. I'm telling you, you watch him whenever the camera gets on him and he's just lights up. And there's something about that kind of guy. Like, it makes you think not only is he that guy on the camera because he just loves getting the center of attention, but this is the fun guy in the locker room. This is the guy that, you know, let's get some beers. Now, I'm not saying crazy, like, let's go get drunk and be out till 4 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, the guy just does team building kind of stuff. He just strikes me as that guy. And again, I'm not in the interview rooms. I'm not trying to say that I know the guy personally or something like that. It's just the vibe I get from watching this guy, the way he is on the sidelines, the way he is in interviews and stuff like that. Kind of like a Gronkowski kind of personality, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's serious. He wants to win. He's not. I'm not saying he's a jackass, but he's that fun-loving guy.
Yeah, I was also going to go with, you know, like a Jason Kelsey.
No, because Kelsey was much more serious. I think he's got more personality than Kelsey. Kelsey's much more serious. If anything, Travis Kelsey brings Jason Kelsey's personality out more.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough.
Anyway, wrong Michigan. Trevor Keegan. 6'6", 320 pounds, 23 years old, played 11 games in 22, 15 games in 23 with a 68.6 PFF grade, played left guard exclusively. As far as the pros, size, fundamentals, good technique. And that's a theme you're going to see in a lot of Michigan guys. When we talk about Michigan guys here, we've already talked about a couple of them here. Michigan offensive linemen are well coached as a whole. That is why they had the offense they had. They were road graders. They're going to run the ball down your goddamn throat. Old school smash mouth football. That's what these guys are. As far as the cons for him, he is coming off a broken tibia and fibula. So he's got an injury he's trying to come back from. He's a little slow off the snap. And to be honest, kind of slow in general. He doesn't have the athleticism that you want from the position. But if you're okay with a guard who just sits there and does his job, then this might be the guy for you at that point there. He's, like I said, he's not a bad guard. I have him kind of as a lower level starter to a high end backup, depending on, again, how he develops in the NFL there. And I have him going like a third to fourth round. Day three kind of. I'm sorry, I got two Michigan guys back to back. We'll talk about the guy in a second here. My eyes are going to the wrong spot here. Yeah. But I have him as a day three pick, but I think he's an early day three pick. I think somebody will take him like in the fourth round. And I said, I think whoever gets him is going to get one of those personality types that the media team and you know, marketing are going to freaking love. You know, every so often a team gets that kind of offensive lineman that just people love. Like Nick Gates was that kind of guy for the Giants.
Yes.
Like, he was just a fun, good guy. Nobody said a bad word about him. He kind of lightened up the mood always. He'd always was laughing and having a good time with teammates and stuff like that. That's going to be Keegan in the NFL. That's going to be his personality. And I think if you're a team that's maybe having some chemistry issues, especially on the offensive line side, that's something to look at, because this is a guy who I think has that ability to bring people together. Maybe I'm reading too much into what I see in interviews and all. Like I said, I just, because I've been in sales and had so much different training on sales, I've always been pretty decent at picking stuff up, and it's just the vibe I get when I look at Keegan and the way he acts with his teammates, the way he acts with the press and everything, is he's going to be that kind of personality. And there's a value to that. Beyond what he does in the field, there's a value to that as well.
100%. Listen, you got five guys lined up on the line, and they all want to do their own thing, go in different ways. You could go your own way.
Go your own way.
But if you got a guy that brings everyone together, look at the Avengers. Oh, my God. Talk about it. 5 years too late. But they're good individually, but together, the Avengers assembled. That's what
to me, my X-Men.
Yeah.
Do you even watch the X-Men 97 yet, by the way?
I have not.
You have to watch it. Spectacular. Three episodes in. Seven more to go.
Part of me just kind of wants to wait like a few more weeks so I can binge watch it.
No. I'm saying it's so good you have to watch it. Okay. Especially if you're like me, I can't help but watch the spoilers.
Yeah.
And then that ruins it. Or I'll see an article like blah, 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 and blah, 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 get together this week on blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, God damn it, I didn't watch blah, blah, blah yet this week.
Well, I've been dodging all that.
It's going to happen. You're going to see it eventually. All right. On to number five. So I can stop getting them confused. Now we're on our second guy from Michigan, Zach Zinter. By the way, I love the tattoo on his arm. You see what it said? It said product of the trenches. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Zach, I have to say, with his name, he definitely is a Zinner.
He's
definitely about those Zins.
When you want to know who's last on the NFL Players Association list to call or to tell about anything going on, it's going to be Zach Zinter. Because no matter which way you go, first name or last name, he is at the bottom of the list there. Zach is 6'6", 322 pounds. Another big boy there. Where are we? We don't really have any undersized linemen really coming up yet in this group, which has been kind of interesting. Usually you get one or two that's like, oh, he's 290, but maybe we think if he can put on some weight. No, like these are all big boys already. Played 14 games in 22, played 12 in 23 with a 76.6 PFF grade. We finally are getting into the better grades here. Right guard, pros on him, strong, huge size, as we mentioned there, smart, and good technique. And you know what I just realized is that I gave off the wrong information on Trevor. So hold on. See, this is what happened. I can't have two people back to back from the same school. So Trevor Keegan was the issue, was length, not athletic, and needed to lower his pad level. That was the cons on him. I'd read the cons on Zach instead. Zach is the one coming off the broken tibia and fibula and slow to the snap and just slow in general. If you look at his tape, though, one thing this guy is he's that mauler guard at that point. If you need a guy who's just strong and is going to beat the guy in front of him with pure strength, this is your guy. If you're looking for the guy who's mobile, going to be pulling, going to go 5 yards down the field to get the second level at that point, he's not your guy. But what he does do very well. If you can accept the limitations and you can work within those limitations, Zach Zinter is going to be one of those guys that's going to be very good in for you at that point. But again, you have to accept the limitations of what he can't do. But look at what happened with Blake Corum this year. We talked about a lot of the linemen. You notice this is the third lineman now we're talking just in the interior. Talked about the center already. We're talking about the two guards because we talked about the center. We did our episode on the father and son combos there from the NFL. And their center just missed the cut. If I added one more, he would have been the guy on there probably. So, but these guys are just, they're solid. They're fundamental. They're guys who are, you know, just guys that maul people. That's what they are. They're just big boys that use their size. So if that's your running style, that's, you're good. You're solid. If you want to do the whole, let's run outside, let's pull five different linemen, just do all kinds of crazy stuff, you're not going to like them.
Yeah, no. This is, Zach and Trevor, they kind of scream to me like old school Patriot. When I say old school, like 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's, they'd be Belichick people 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Just lunch pail, do your job, smash the other guy's head in. Kind of guys. Yeah. Like, that's what they are.
Keep everyone out. Let's go.
Yeah. I like I said, I like them both. I think they're both, you know, going to be good, you know, guys in the NFL for a while there. It's just a matter of Zach has more talent, I think, and Trevor's got a little more leadership and personality at that point.
Yeah. We're talking about the broken tibia and fibula too. Like, I don't expect it coming back, but some of these guys, when they break, because that's a straight up, like, your foot's hanging off.
Oh, yeah. I say that's your right. Shin bone, your calf bone is what that is.
Yeah. So when you get a break like that, some of these guys, they lose some weight and they get a little more finesse.
Yeah.
If they build up the agility. Does it make a difference on the football field? Time will tell, because he is a big guy.
Yeah. I mean, but you got 4 to 6 months when I look it up here is the typical healing time. So if that is the case, what we're talking about there, he's going to be right in that time period right now.
Yeah. I mean, you also got to look at what did he tear any ligaments when that happened?
Was
that
to the best of my knowledge? No. Because obviously, I don't have his medical. So
a lot of times your delta ligament tears off that. Sometimes you get your Achilles, usually not because it's kind of in the back. And then you get the other one on the other side. You know, the MCL of the ligaments down there.
The hip bones connect to the cap bone, the cap bone's connected to the tibia.
But those ligaments are what's going to take longer to heal than the actual bone. So if it's just straight,
like I said, everything I've seen on him is just straight bone break, and that's it. There's no issue with the actual ligaments at all. So if that's the case, he'd be, like I said, he'd be back in 4 to 6 months and good to go and be strong as new. But again, I don't have the medical, so
same here.
We'll have to see how that is. All righty, next up we have Christian Mahogany. It's a very elegant name, Mahogany.
Right.
Like a solid table or a cabinet.
Sounds from, like a good centerpiece.
Exactly. From Boston College. I don't know why I did the accent as Boston College. It's not like a Harvard deal, but I'm well. It is what it is. Mahogany's 6'3". It's 322 pounds, 23 years old. Did not play at all in the 22 season because of a torn ACL, which means the Giants are definitely targeting this guy in the draft.
100%.
Like, if we got the guy free, that's why I swear we're still getting Penix. Like, ooh, two ACL tears.
Excellent.
So, did play 12 games in 23 at a 74.9 PFF grade. And what do we always say about people coming off ACL tears? The first year?
Way worse than normal.
Exactly. So that's why even though he has a lower grade than Zach, he's a little higher up there at that point. He's also got versatility, which Zach just does not provide there. So he played 32 snaps at right guard. And played 32 snaps at right tackle, 2 snaps at left tackle. And everything else was over at right guard. But he has moved around at least a little bit. He's shown a little flexibility. If he ends up being a backup, that's key. You want a guy with a little bit of flexibility if he's going to be a backup. You don't want a guy that you only see in one position and you'd have no clue what he can do with the rest at that point. But like I said, he's mainly played right guard there at Boston College. As far as the pros, strong hands, good off the snap. Very good against stunts as well. He picks those up pretty well. And he's also a pretty good puller. As far as the cons, he leans forward too much at times there. So you want to get that center of gravity with a good anchor at that point where someone can just push you over or literally just knock you over at that point there. His gravity is a little too much forward at that point, which puts you a little more susceptible to like spin moves and rips and stuff like that. then he also has a little bit of hand trouble as well. He's got good hands, but every so often he gets caught using those hands. He's not like Allstate.
Tricky.
It's tricky. I still think of SS Nexus, the snowboarding game, whenever I hear that sound. That game was good back in the day. But yeah, like I said, I think this is now, like I said, we're talking with this with him and Center and a couple of the guys coming up. Now we got the guys that legit have a chance to start as a rookie. And Mahogany does. You know, again, he's going to play probably better next year than he did this year in college because it's now one more year removed away from there. I think he's probably going to go around the third round. And he's going to go to a team that just needs a right guard, probably. Because, again, we've seen him mostly at that. But they're going to know in their back of their mind, if he doesn't win the starting spot, he's got a little bit of flexibility because he's played both tackle positions there as well. So I think he'll be a decent player in this league, though. I don't think he's going to be every star. But I think he can be. I think he will develop into a solid guard in this league here overall.
I agree. And actually, because the lack of depth in this spot in this draft, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes late second round.
Possible. Especially, it depends what happens with the first three guys, obviously there, yeah. And how desperate a team is for a guard there. Next up, we have another Christian. It's like Sunday morning all over again. Christian Haynes. Oh, yes, there he is. Christian Haynes out of UConn. You don't see a lot of guys out of Connecticut. And I'm a little scared of Connecticut guys after Matt Peart. Isn't that where he came from?
I think so.
So 6'2", 313 pounds. No age on him. Again, another guy with no age. He started off at UConn in 2018. So you got to think he's probably around 24 years old. Played 13 games in 22. 12 games this past year with an 80.2 PFF grade. Now, you got to also remember when you see 80.2 PFF grade, he's playing UConn. He's not playing SEC, Big Ten, Pac-12. There's a little difference there in the quality of opponents he has. There's also obviously a difference in the teammates he has as well. So you got to take that part into consideration as well. But he did what you want from a guy at that point who plays in a lesser conference. He excelled. As far as the pros, he's a pure road grader. This is a run blocking, like stud kind of guy at that point there. If you need some, you know, like a high tower from police academy, kind of like blow the hole open kind of guy, like that's what he is. You know, he's going to be a guy who's going to go ahead and move people for you. He's also a very smart player. He's got a good football IQ where he sees people are moving in at that point where they're trying to go into the gap at that point. And I've seen him move where all of a sudden he's pushing one guy and all of a sudden you see him kind of push his guy into the other guy that he knows is about to try to get into that gap. He's got that kind of football IQ going. So the big issue with him is he's a slow start guy. He's another one of those guys that's got, you know, average as far as agility and speed at that point there. Definitely has some issues with momentum as far as keeping some of his blocks going long term, especially in pass protection. But again, 80.2 PFF grade. That's a legit grade there. And he did very well at UConn. It's just a matter of how much does that translate to the NFL. There's a decent jump going from the NFL from UConn. You know, that's a basketball school. That's not a football school. That's what they are. But I think he's going to make the transition. I think he'll probably have a little bit of a rougher rookie season. Because I think there will be some growing pains, so to speak, going that kind of growth to, you know, again, from UConn to the NFL. But I think he's going to develop into a pretty solid guard in this league. He'll be that guy you look at as like, okay, well, I don't got to worry about this guy. He's got a spot. You know, he's got that right guard spot locked down. I don't got to worry about that position because I have him. Yeah, that's the kind of guy he's going to be. He's not going to be the Pro Bowl guy. He's not going to be the All-Pro guy. He's going to be the guy that you just is locked down his position and you don't worry about him for the next 5-6 years at that point there once he's got everything going. So not a bad guy to have around, that's for sure. All righty, we got two more guys here. And these are the guys that are like the solid. These are like the guys that you just pop in day one. You have no concerns whatsoever. First one. Beefcake. First one has possibly one of the coolest names in all of football.
Yeah.
Cooper Beebe. All right, here we go. We're hanging with Mr. Cooper here. 6'4", 335 out of Kansas State. 22 years old, does turn 23 in May, so he'd be 23 this season. Played 14 games in 22, played another 13 there last season with an 83.9 PFF grade. One of the things I love about this guy here is the versatility he provides. So the last 2 years, he's played mostly at left guard, but he's played everywhere except for center at his college career. Here's his snaps by position. 774 snaps at left tackle. 1,738 snaps at left guard. 25 at right guard and 103 at right tackle. What that tells me is this is a guy that has been put in multiple positions and done well. And hypothetically, let's say... This is one thing I was looking at. Call me negative. Rob Leach probably do it. He does it all the time. Awesome. But I like to look at not just what the possibilities are development wise, but I like to look at what's the floor in this guy? And I think Cooper's one of those guys that I think is going to excel in this league. I really do. I think he's going to be a guy that you just plug in that position for 10 years solid and just keep on going. Worst comes to worst, though. He's a guy who's played everywhere pretty much on that line, again, except for center. And he'd be one hell of a backup. That's his floor. I don't think he'll go to the near to that floor. I really don't. But I find it hard to believe that a guy who's one of the best guards in college football just all of a sudden just forgets how to play and can't hack it all in the NFL. I think he's a very safe pick because of that. And I have him as a late second round kind of guy. I think that's where he'll end up going. And I think he's the best pure guard in this draft. And what I mean by that is the guy we're going to talk about number one in a minute didn't play guard in college. This is the best pure guard. And I don't think he gets enough hype for some reason in this draft. I don't know why. But for whatever reason, he's just not talked about a lot. And I think that that's kind of, it's kind of like one of those guys that, you know, every so often in a draft, the guys just kind of falls at the crack. This is that guy, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we've already talked about it. The most sexy position in football is quarterback. We're in a quarterback heavy punter. Draft. The long snapper is the sexiest.
The long snapper, oh yes.
But you also got a pretty good, yeah.
It's a pretty good movie receiver. Too.
Ooh, yes.
The long snapper of the movie.
But there's other sexier positions that are going in this draft. So when you talk about the best at this legit.
When you talk about the tackles, there's a lot of tackles getting hype. There's not a lot of guards getting hype. And don't get me wrong, we talked about it. There's not a lot of depth to it. It's kind of top heavy, but there's some good guards here still. And this is one of them. And for whatever reason, he's just not getting any hype whatsoever. And it's weird.
I think he's going to be like a sneaky pick. Like he's probably going to go like, I think he could go like mid second.
I think it'll be a late second, but it wouldn't shock me at that point. That's not that much of a difference going mid to late. So, like I said, he's going to be, I really think he's going to be a good player long term for whoever gets him at that point. I think that's going to be a solid pickup there. All right. We got one more here. Number one. Who does number one work for?
Who does?
Oh, yes. We're breaking our rule a little bit here. We said that, you know, a lot of the guys that played tackle, we talked about some of them were talked about being potentially a guard in the NFL. Like, oh, no, this guy, you know, listen, he could play as a tackle. This is not that guy. This is a guy that has played tackle his entire career at Duke. He's going to be a guard in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. I haven't heard a single team talk about giving him even a look at tackle. Because he just doesn't have the body for it. He's got little T-Rex arms and stuff like that. He can't hack it in the NFL probably as a tackle. No offense to him. It's just the limitations he's been given in life. And he'll make a lot of money as being a very solid guard in this league. There's a reason we listed him number one here. Graham Martin out of Duke there, 6'5", 314 pounds, 21 years old, played 13 games in 22, nine last year in 23 with a 75.9 PFF grade. That keep in mind, that's as a left tackle. Left tackle is a much more difficult position to play than the guard is. I'm sorry. It is. No offense to the guards. But tackle, you have, like I said, we have to worry about that edge. If you're playing guard, you have someone to help you on either side if need be. Like I said, he's definitely going to be converted over to a guard, though. There's going to be a little bit, obviously, of a little learning curve there at that point. But he's very flexible. He's good on pulls. He's agile. You see that from the tackle position. And that's one of the rare things. You see this guy go out of screen, he just moves around like he's meant for it. He's got that kind of movement there. The only issue with him is he's got the length issues with his arm. He's got some issues with some of the high-end speed rushers. And I mean like the elite guys. So he's not going to go into the, you know, go and have problems with every single one of them. But the times that they face some bigger schools that have got some of the best of the best of the best, sir, those are the ones he's had issues with at that point there. He's also a little bit late to react to stunts, and I think that's actually going to help him being inside with that as well. It's a little easier to read a stunt from the inside than it is from the outside at that point, because the outside, you're going, oh my God, I have to protect the side. Again, you have those helps next to you at that point. It helps kind of people relax at that point sometimes and get into that range at that point there. I think he's going to go late in the first round. I think he's going to be that highly touted. Worst case scenario, it'll drop to the very beginning of that second round there. But I think somebody will pick him up late in the first round that needs a little help at the guard position there. And you're always going to find somebody who's going to need that kind of help there at that point. So, like I said, Graham Barton's going to be another guy just like Cooper. I think Graham and Cooper both are going to be plug-and-play kind of guys. You just pop in the offense, and you just don't worry about that position for the next 10 years as long as you pay him.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean,
obviously, you know, eventually you need a contract.
Show me the money. Get Jeremy.
Show me the money. So, yeah, that's our guards we got, guys, here. We're going to go over the centers here in just a moment. Before we do that, let's pay the bills and let's read some comments here.
Enjoying the show. Looking for more goofball action? Consider a membership at buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs. Membership start at just $5 and give you additional goofball access. One-time support payments also available starting at just $3. buymeacoffee.com/2giantgoofballs.
Oh, yeah. And we got to one comment here so far. Everybody's being quiet tonight. See y'all there watching. See y'all watching.
I mean, all bashful.
Don't be shy. We won't hurt you. Connor says, how much cap room do we have that has to be used in draft also, or just guys we want to keep and free agents we might want? I forget. So you got to keep in mind there's functional cap space and there's actual cap space. The big thing that matters is functional, because what that takes into consideration is what you have left after you're paying for your draft class. Because we got to buy those guys contracts at that point. It's got to come in part of the salary cap situation there. We have less than $1 million. Now, when I say that, it sounds bad, but it's not bad because we still have plenty of maneuvering abilities at that point there. I will say this. I do not think that we'll be signing anybody of significance until after the draft. Kudos to Pat Traina, who's, you know, you guys don't listen to her and know what she does as far as that. She's awesome.
Fantastic.
She pointed out that based on the current formula, the Giants are on pace to get a fourth round comp pick next year, in theory. I always had to say it in theory because the NFL decides, not us. But that's the current formula they're saying at that point. Basically, who we signed in free agency, cancel it out, Saquon. But we're gonna get one for McKinney, which is a fourth round pick, because based on what he signed for. So if that's the case, you know, I think that we'll probably wait until after the draft to sign anybody else, because it's not like there's anybody else we have to have. There's not like any amazing kind of player out there. They're like, oh, I don't screw the fourth round pick, we're getting so-and-so. You know, I think I've heard Justin Blackman. I've heard of the safety as an option there. Again, he's like 30, 31, so he's not going to go anywhere probably until after the draft. I'm not worried about him if we do lose him even. But yeah, wait till after the draft. You'll see new guys get cut too. That always happens after the draft. You know, remember we got A'shaun Robinson last year, defensive tackle, after the draft. I think we got him like the very end of April. Let's see, it was like the 25th or something like that. I was just talking to somebody about that. Like, oh no, we have to get a defensive tackle in this draft, or else. Like, or else what? We have too many holes for six picks to fill them all.
Yeah.
It's the truth. I mean, we need a corner. We need a quarterback. We need a receiver. We need a defensive tackle. We potentially need a tight end. Like, we have some needs, guys. And, you know, you can't count on a fifth or sixth round pick to come in and fill one of those needs. You have three or four quality picks, basically, what we have at that point.
Pretty much that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I mean, look, Trey Hawkins last year, he was supposed to be a stud.
Third. He was getting national attention at how good he looked in camp, even. I swear, I wonder if they like Daniel Jones him in reverse, where they made Daniel Jones look bad on purpose in the first Dable camp. I wonder if they did the reverse with Trey Hawkins. Let's make him look really good. We're going to look so smart for drafting this guy. Connor says, I'm thinking of becoming an Eagles fan. What do you think? I said, I think it would not work very well at that point, because then you'd have to, you know, be a traitor and a turncoat like Saquon.
April Fools.
Oh, all right. Let's get into our talks at the centers here. We got six centers to talk about there. So let's get right into them here. So number six, technically. We're going in reverse here. Tanner Bortolini. It's a Bortolini.
I was about to say him and Tommy DeVito. Call these some fat boys down in Rutgers.
Anyway, he's out of Wisconsin, which again is a team that typically Wisconsin, one of the schools that definitely produces some legit linemen. 6'4", 310 pounds. Another guy that they just did not list the age for some reason there. So he started out at Wisconsin in 2020. So again, we're gonna go ahead and assume that he's born around 2002 or around there at that point. They would put him at 22 years old. Played 11 games in 22, played another 12 in 23 with a 65.9 PFF grade. Played center last year, obviously, but moved around prior to that. So he didn't play any snaps at left tackle in his career, but he played 469 snaps at left guard, 942 at center, including 868 this past year. 179 snaps at right guard and 229 snaps over at right tackle. So again, he started this year, but prior to that, he was a backup that moved around and filled up a lot of spots at that point. So yeah, not too shabby of a guy at that point to get as a backup. I think that's where he's going to end up. I think he's a day three kind of pick at that point. As far as the pros and cons there, he's very athletic, very agile, but he does have trouble maintaining blocks. Again, he's 310 pounds, which is going to be one of the lighter guys there, you know, for some of this stuff. Because honestly, you look at him, I don't see 310. I think he put some heavy boots on that day or something. Like, there was something going on. Stuff in his drawers with lead weights or something. I don't know. I don't know how they do that weights. So he got a little bit of trouble maintaining the blocks long term there. And he's also overly aggressive. You know, he's Wisconsin Badger. He's the honey badger, apparently, because he just runs at people at that point. And sometimes when you're overly aggressive, you're prone to, you know, somebody who's a smart player taking that advantage that may make it fall flat on your face. So he's going to take some room to grow, but I like him overall because of the fact that he's got that versatility. You know, he's played all over the place, minus left tackle. And they thought of him high enough to give him a starting job at that point at a school that, again, is one of those schools that does typically produce decent offensive linemen. You know,
he kind of reminded me of Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher!
He's a Duba Amagata.
Something wrong with his Mandula Amagata. No Colonel Sanders. So, but yeah, like I said, for a day three pick kind of guy, you could do a whole lot worse for a guy that's got some potential to develop into somebody. In a worst case scenario, could be a backup way that fits a lot of spots and, you know, goes into a lot of spots with no issues, because he had no issues. I looked at the grades for him, all these different positions when he played there. they were all pretty even. He did pretty good at all of them. So versatility, yeah, one of the biggest keys when you're a day three pick.
100%.
All right. Next up, we have Hunter Norzad out of Penn State. I should apologize to Hunter. That's the worst picture ever, possibly, for his card there. But that's what they had. Listen, blame Penn State. They didn't have anything. Yeah. Couldn't find any good pictures of him online at that point there to use. So went to Penn State the last 2 years. Prior to that, played over at Cornell, pinkies out, from 18 to 20. So obviously a very smart guy. You don't get into Cornell if you're stupid, unless your daddy pays for a library. 6'3", 315 pounds, 23 years old, played 11 games in 22, played 13 games in 23 with a 74.4 PFF grade. Again, another guy who played center last year, but prior to that moved around and played pretty much every position under the sun. In fact, he literally played every position on the offensive line at one point. 170 career snaps at left tackle, 535 at left guard, 801 at center, including 784 this past year, 25 at right guard, and 458 at right tackle. So, yeah, this guy gets around, yeah, like a sorority.
Hey-o.
Yeah, he's getting, like I said, he's been everywhere on the offensive line. This is the thing I love to see at a day three, guys. I want to see a guy who can move around, somebody who can go ahead and play a whole bunch of positions, because you create a value at that point. If you're a guy who plays left guard and that's it, yeah, if you can start, great. But if you're a backup, there's only a 20% chance if somebody gets injured, they play left guard. That's the math. I did the math. Very easy.
That's good math.
Even for me. So, yeah, like I said, I like the guy because he plays everywhere. And as long as you can develop him into be a solid backup, which I think is what his ceiling is in this league, he's a good guy to have on the bench because you can just pop him in wherever you need him. He's got quick feet. He's smart. He's agile. And the issues you run into with him there is his pass protection techniques aren't exactly the best. And this is techniques 100%. We talked about it. The guy went to Cornell, so you have to assume he's got a brain in his shoulders there.
It's in his head, not his shoulders.
Well, you know what I mean, though. You obviously never took an anatomy class in school. But, yeah, I mean, assuming that he's coachable, he's probably not an idiot. And you probably can go into that saying, okay, as long as he'll listen, he'll change some stuff that we suggest, he'll probably improve over time at that point. He also does reach. That's one thing you got to be a little careful on. And what I mean by that is when you got a guy who's in run block protection at that point specifically, and they see their target, sometimes instead of moving to the target, just keep in mind when you're run blocking, you can move those legs. He kind of goes over. When you overextend at that point or reach for a guy, your punch isn't nearly as good. Plus, when your arms were out like this, you're a lot harder, you know, a lot easier to go ahead and get, you know, a swim move or something, had to get around at that point. So you got to wait to get to this target first there. The other thing is his agility. While he was agile as a center, he looked a little bit slow when he played some other positions that required a little more movement than center typically does. So, again, he's going to be that guy that I think if you put him in one other spot, you're going to have to go to, like, same we talked about with some of the Michigan guys at the guard position there. He's going to be the guy that kind of sits there and just, that's his spot. Don't move him around. Don't expose the issues. You know, don't put him in that position. But, again, I think a good day three pick, a good probably a good solid backup offensive lineman in this league, and should have a nice career that are doing that there. So could be a whole lot worse there. And again, day three pick, so it's not like you're going to waste the top pick on getting them.
Nope.
All righty. Next up, we got Bo Limmer. Oh, yes, there we are. So Bo is out of Arkansas there. 6'5", 307 pounds. Played 13 games in 22, played another 12 games this past season with a 74.5 PFF grade there. Played mostly center this season here, but he did play right guard prior 2 seasons. So he's been a 3-year starter. They moved him over to a center there. And I forget the guy's name that they drafted the Commanders last year, but the Commanders drafted the center they had last year before him. So I think if I want to say he was a third round pick. So it was like he was held out by somebody who was like a bum or something. They just had a solid center. So they played him at a right guard until the center position popped up, basically. He did play also another 41 snaps at left guard as well. So he's played all three positions in the interior line. So again, he got some versatility there. As far as the pros, he's smart. He's got good range, a good punch, and a good anchor. As far as the cons, he's got some technique issues in pass pro. Again, technique issues. I can deal with technique issues as long as they have the right coaching staff. So if you feel like you got the right coaching staff, not a bad option here. He does get a little bit over aggressive as well. That's part of that, you know, that punch and anchor kind of guy. He's got that mentality of like, just I'm going to knock you out as an offensive lineman. And I love it. But you got to keep it under control to the point where you're not making mistakes because of that either. I think he's going to be a third, a fourth round kind of guy. I think he's a guy that you're either going to develop and hopefully into a starter, or you're going to pop him in as a starter and just see what kind of happens there, so to speak. Depending on what your situation is at center and the guard positions there. I'm mixed on him. I can see him starting in this league. I really can. But I can also see him as a high-end interior offensive lineman backup there. I can see either one. And neither one would shock me.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he lands at a place, just say, like, Kansas City. He'll have long career as a starter. Yeah, throw him somewhere like the Commanders. He's going to be a backup in this career in this place for a long time.
Be interesting if the Commanders got him because they got the center last year from Arkansas. It's like something about.
I was just throwing out a team.
It's something about those Commanders. they just love those Arkansas centers.
They use and abuse them.
Yeah, I'm looking him up right now because I was trying to remember his name too. Ricky Stromberg, that was his name. He's actually listed him as a left guard. On their depth chart, at least it's on ESPN currently. Ricky Stromberg, that was the guy. I remember Bobby from Talking Giants was pretty big on him there. But yeah, he didn't do much for this for rookie year, at least there. But we'll see what he does overall. But yeah, he's been a decent. Like I said, he was a decent there at Arkansas. So you can't blame this guy for being stuck behind him. It's just a matter of, you know, now that you've seen him at a couple positions now. Do you think he's better as a guard? Do you think he's better as a center? Do you think he's best as a backup? You know, that's going to be for these scouts to figure out there. But again, I think third, fourth round, and I think anywhere from a starter to a backup, nothing would shock me with this guy. I think he's going to have to earn his spot, basically, in camp. And they're going to go, you know what? We're going to pop you in there. We're going to put you in a position battle, let you potentially earn a spot. Worst case scenario, we pop you on the bench for a year or two to develop you, and we'll have long-term plans for you.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds about right. Next up, we have... Number three. Now we're getting into the more elite guys here. Cedric Van Pren. There we go. From Georgia. Six 6'4", 310 pounds, 22 years old. Played 15 games in 22. Played 14 in 23 with a 77.9 PFF grade. Has been exclusively a center. And this is going to be the last of the three plug-and-play centers that you can pop in as a starting center right off the bat, probably at that point with no issues whatsoever. Again, Georgia, playing the SEC, played well. That right there is enough a sign for me to go, okay, I'm interested. I know I should be scared of saying that for Evan Neal, but he also played very well in the SEC. But pros-wise, athletic, agile, also strong, and also very smart. His issues is actually the same exact issues that we had for Bo there. We talked about him a second ago. He's overly aggressive at times and got some inconsistent technique and pass pro. But what's interesting to me always when it's inconsistent, it's like, you know what to do. Sometimes you just kind of get that brain fog and you get that memory twitch where your muscles just go right into doing the wrong thing at that point there, you know.
Or you're caught up doing something else or thinking they're going to do something else and it's not good to read. So your technique is obviously not going to be you may not see, you know, the defender lower his hips. So, you know, when you push off, your push might be a little too high.
Again, when it's inconsistent, that means he knows it and you've seen it. you just got to work on that consistency. And I think a lot of that comes with repetition and continued work at that point there. I think he's, from what I've seen in him, he seems to have the work ethic to do that. So I'm pretty confident he'll be a decent center in this league. He'll never, again, this guy won't be the Pro Bowl kind of guy. This is not going to be the All Pro kind of guy, probably. But I think he's going to be a decent center in this league here. I have him like a late second, early third kind of pick at that point there. But again, it depends on how much you like him, because again, he's an SEC guy. He's one of the more, you know, dominant interior offensive linemen in this draft, which is not a very, again, not a very strong position. So, you know, we'll see what happens there, but that's where I have him talent wise there. And that's where he should go, probably.
I took him going into the third, like, mid to early third. He may, like you said, he may sneak in second because of the lack of talent in this draft. Yeah. But with so much of the other talent going around, definitely teams would be like, I can get this guy in the third.
Ooh, there's plenty of talent to go around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, I think he'll be a solid player. I do. All right. Yeah. Next up, we have Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. Mountain Mama, take me home
to the place.
NFL drafts. There he is there. Zach Frazier, not to be confused with the main character from the Star Show Outlander.
Or Brendan Frazier.
Oh. Didn't we find out it's not Brendan Frazier? It's something else. Frazier or something like that. Like somebody's been mispronouncing it the whole time and he didn't correct anybody.
He's such a nice guy.
He is. He really is. I feel bad for that guy, the way Hollywood treated that man. Anyway. Zach Frazier, 6'3", 310 pounds, 22 years old, played 12 games in 22 and 13, had a 74.5 PFF grade there in 23. Played exclusively at a center there. Excellent run blocker. Got a great grip. Like, this is one of those guys that we talked about. There's guys that have the ability to get away with holding and don't have issues. And there's some guys who just will get called every time for it. This is that guy. Like, you ever had that friend who can, like, say something outlandish and stupid that most people get punched in the face for saying, but they just somehow get away with it and somebody laughs at them?
That's me.
Yeah, like, he's that equivalent of that as an offensive lineman. Like, he just gets away with grabbing people and holding on to them and just never, it never seems to be called because he puts everything in the right spot. And if you look at the tape on any NFL game, every single play, there's a holding. It's just a matter of them putting their hands in the right spot to avoid getting caught with it. So, he's got that ability. Where he doesn't have is he's a little bit short on the length, and he's a little bit slow in lateral movement there. He's just such a good run blocker. I had to put him right above Van Pran there, but the two of them are kind of neck and neck. I think Frazier's a little bit better. I think he goes in the second round. And he's going to go hopefully specifically to a team, and I'm not suggesting them specifically because they already have Lindenbaum, obviously, at Baltimore, but a team like that that runs the ball and respects the run as part of their offensive game plan. You're not going to throw him to a team that's going to just pass, 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 and pass. That would be a waste of his talents. But like I said, you get him in the right spot, he's going to be a productive member of the offensive line for many years to come there.
So you're saying Cincinnati is not his destination. Gotcha.
Listen, Cincinnati has always run the ball.
Yeah, but they also got Joe Burrow and Chase.
Yeah, but they always had a running back to go along with them too as well. In fact, if you look at Cincinnati historically in the last like 25, 30 years, they pretty much always had a running back of some kind. As bad as that team has been, not saying they've had excellent ones, but they've had better than average.
Yeah, maybe top 12 in the past 25 years.
No, I'm saying like overall, I think they've had, you know. So let's take a look here. So you had Joe Mixon, obviously, since 2017. Yep. You had Jeremy Hill before that. You know, he's been a good guy. You had Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, who actually in his 2 years there had about 1,800 yards. So it's not like nothing, you know. Then you had Cedric Benson, and people forget Cedric Benson, as bad as he was in Chicago, was very good when he went to Cincinnati. he was an 1,200 yard kind of guy at that point there, and he was there 2011 to 2008. You got 1 year of Kenny Watson, who I don't even know who the hell that Kenny Watson. I remember Kenny Watson, but then you got Rudy Johnson, who had 1,400 yards basically, and then you got Corey Dillon until 1997. They've always had a decent running back.
Yeah, so middle of the pack.
I guess if you got a guy who's getting over 1,000 yards more than half the time in this modern NFL in the last 20, 25 years, you're doing good. That's not good. Middle of the pack. That's not middle of the pack. 1,000-yard rusher in the modern NFL is good.
Okay, but you already said, what's the face, at 1,800 yards in 2 years, so that's 900 yards. Mixon, above, below. So, like, they probably average 900 yards, 800
his
yards.
His is based on health, usually.
I'm talking about the top player. When they average out their product, 850. I'm a fancy guy.
He's got at least 1,000 yards in 4 of the last 6 seasons, Joe Mixon does.
Yeah. It's fair.
Like I said, I'm not suggesting they have a top flight rushing attack. I'm just saying they're not all passing.
You love their running game.
I like the running game. I always have. I really do. I miss old school football to a certain degree. I love sitting there just seeing, like, you know what I used to love as a kid, and this is what I missed. You'll probably never see it again in the NFL, though, just the way it is. A guy like Charles Way. Just bum. Remember they had that one good year in 97 and just bum rush, boom, 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 like right off of people. Like it was nothing. Like it was just like a tank running down the middle of the field. Kind of like the way Brandon Jacobs ran, too, as well after that. You know, it was like, I love those big, strong running backs at that point that can do that. And I think you're going to see a renaissance of that coming very soon in the NFL because we keep on getting these smaller and smaller linebackers, safeties. You even see some of the smaller defensive tackles now because you want them to rush the passer now, too, when they used to just be run stoppers. You get a big bruiser in there. That's why I've been so high on us getting a guy like Braylon Allen in the draft at that point that has that ability, because you get a guy that can just bum rush and roll through at that point. He's going to excel because defenses aren't meant for that anymore.
Anyway, yeah, I was about to say, when you're talking about
we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah, I say, when you got a running back that's 20 pounds lighter than the defensive lineman and he's got the momentum on the side.
Yes.
Nah, stop. All right. Sorry,
Newton's laws of physics. Anyway, Zach Fraser, second round, I think, is where he'll end up going. Like I said, he'll be a good guy. And I think, honestly, he's got to go to a spot that utilizes his run blocking abilities because that's a strong suit there. All right. Next up, we have one more guy. One more. Ooh. Oh, yes. And this guy has the quintessential name if you were to become a porn star.
That's fantastic.
He does. I mean, seriously, like, if you were going to be one, that'd be, like, the name. And this is maybe the worst, most disrespectful way to start a profile, but we're talking about it. It is what it is. It's Jackson Powers Johnson. This is why, by the way, we'll never get invited anywhere to do interviews with players because we say things like that. But it's the truth. I mean, hell, if you were to start being a porn star, Powers Johnson. That's a great name. Let's go with it. Anyway.
All of them. I mean, he did play for the Ducks.
And yeah, he did. The Mighty Ducks of Oregon there. 6'3", 320 pounds, 21 years old. Played 12 games in 22, 13 in the last season there. With an 84.3 PFF grade. This guy is the cream of the crop at the interior offensive line. He is the best of the whole bunch between both the centers and the guards. He's that good.
He's Will Smith, minus the slap.
Yeah, slap shop. Played center last year, but also has played multiple positions in the past there. So 350 of his 394 snaps in 22 were at right guard. And he played literally every interior offensive line position in 21. So he's moved around. And this is the guy that the Giants met at the Senior Bowl down there in Mobile, where they talked to him about potentially moving over to guard. I don't see the Giants having a shot in hell of getting this guy, though. I think that unless something goes really weird and he drops and we just say, screw it, we don't need a quarterback or we don't need a wide receiver or whatever the case may be, depending on what we do in that first round. He's going to be a lead first round pick, in my opinion. I don't see him getting into that second round at all. I'll be shocked if that happens. But he's a guy that someone's going to pick up, and they're going to probably, I think, move him to guard just because of how good he is and how much of a more important position that is than center. I hate to say it that way, unless it's a team that legit needs a center and goes, you know, screw it, let's keep him there. But there's been the Giants weren't the only team that asked him about moving to guard. And there's a lot of guys out there that would love to have him on their team. And it's going to be just wherever they have the need, whether it be guard or whether it be center. So I think he's going to be a bona fide, legit player in this league. This is going to be, if you're looking for a guy that could potentially be a Pro Bowler at the interior offensive line, this is that guy. This is probably the only guy in this draft that I'd place money on getting at least one Pro Bowl in their career.
And probably has the highest jersey sales because, come on, Powers Johnson.
I can't get past this. This is just spectacular at that point. Oh my God. Anyway, that's our show as far as that part. There, we do have a little bit of NFL news to give you guys here. A couple of notes here. So let's get into that real quick here before we read the rest of the comments and head on out there for the day there. So before we get going, let's do that news around the league. All righty there. So the big news today was very sad news. Vontae Davis, two-time Pro Bowl center, cornerback, died today at the age of 35. Found his home dead from everything they're saying, no foul play, though obviously they do an autopsy and everything, see what happens there. Vontae is probably best known as the guy who literally retired at halftime, which is just, you know, I don't think I've ever heard of that any other time before and probably never will again. Just really young, though, dude. That's crazy. Really young, like 35. Like, yeah. That's just, yeah. I mean, obviously had to have some kind of underlying medical condition you got to think that they didn't know about there. So, you know, obviously thoughts and prayers out to his family. That's rough to lose somebody that young. You never expect that. You know, so other news there, later news, Hassan Reddick got traded. We talked about that this offseason. Is that be a possible option for a trade there? The Eagles seem to want to move him for whatever reason. I still don't get why. He's a stud pass rusher. He got traded to the New York Jets in exchange for a third round pick that can become a second round pick if depending on playing time there for him. So yeah, Eagles moving on from a guy that I don't understand why they are. They have the cap room to keep him at that point. But yeah, I'll gladly take them giving up a talented player and getting a draft pick that, you know, a third round draft pick. You kidding me? Third round draft pick's the guy you hope would be
that guy.
Yeah, would be a starter, let alone be a Pro Bowl caliber starter like Hassan Reddick is. I don't get it, but whatever. Keep weakening your team, Eagles fans. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with it. All right, let's get to the comments here. Connor says, can I get some linguine with that? Probably not. He says, with the side of Adriana from The Sopranos. I don't know who that is. I got to say, I did not really watch The Sopranos. I hate to say that because, again, I know Rob here, for those of you in Sopranos, you may have seen him on The Sopranos. he was in a couple episodes in the background. So let's see.
There's only one
episode. Oh, okay. I know who that is. I thought you were in two episodes.
One episode, the finale. Okay. The last like 2 minutes. Journey was go. Playing see? When you see me. Don't stop believing. There goes Robbie behind a BMW.
There he is, as seen on Sopranos. But yeah, now I know who the Adriana girl is because she's in a couple other shows. She was in that Joey show too when Joey tried to do his own spinoff of Friends and all too. She's actually, I saw a thing on her actually because she's on OnlyFans. And that's apparently how she's paying her mortgage and everything like that. Like she was just
close to hear about that.
Yeah, she was like this close to losing her house or something.
Her house. Said.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. Well, whatever. That's how you're gonna make your money. Make your money. Listen, I got no problem with that. I don't know why people get so. Yeah, tight she's about
literally, like, yeah. Literally, like in 2 months, she like paid off her mortgage.
Yeah, like so, I don't see why people get so crazy about this stuff. Like, is their body? That's what they want to do. Let them do it. Who cares?
It could have been nothing but feet. I don't know.
I don't know. Listen, I just don't. I think it's the dumbest thing people judge people with that kind of stuff. Who cares? There are people that lie, cheat, and steal to make money for a living. At that point, you were worried somebody's half naked, because half the girls in there, my understanding, are not even fully naked. I don't know. I don't think I've ever been on that website once personally, but like I said, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think half of them are actually naked, even like in bikini shots and stuff like that. Who cares? Even if they are fully naked, who cares? It's their body. Let them do what the hell they want with it. Make some money. Listen, if I can just take my clothes off and pay off my mortgage, let me guess what's going to happen real quick. I'm going to tell you that right now. Listen, I'm getting naked real quick. Rob, get off the line.
If I can sell my feet pictures.
But I'm just saying, like, honestly, which one of us would not do that? And people forget, some of these people that are actors and actresses, they're not making tons and tons and tons of money. Like, some of these people, and like, especially like when you're a woman, let me just put it this way very nicely, because I don't want to like disrespect her acting career, because she's not a bad actress at that point. But it's like, when you're a woman who sometimes gets some of the jobs you got because you look a certain way, as you get older, less and less of those calls come your way. So if you got a way to extend your money coming in, go for it. Who cares? It's your option, your call. Alrighty. Anyway, to get off my tangent here about women having the power to take clothes off if they want to. Men too, whatever. I mean, again, like if I could pay off my mortgage by going naked and OnlyFans, it's happening. As long as my wife's okay with it. So not worth giving up a marriage, but it's worth paying off a mortgage. All right, let's see here. Lions win the Bulls. Well, that's an interesting name with a San Francisco person there on the picture. That's a little weird. Is Giants going to draft JJ if he's there? I hope not. I'm not a fan of JJ personally. I think he's Daniel Jones 2.0, basically. I just don't think he's that good. He's getting hyped up for some reason.
I'm going to go that far, but I agree.
Did you see somebody put up a picture? There's a picture going on social media saying that, like, that JJ McCarthy looks like Zach Wilson if he did.
Oh, Zach Wilson. So, yes.
Oh my God!
No, it's before and after.
It's hilarious. It actually, like, when you look at it, and you see the pictures. You can't I'm not going to put the picture up here at that point there because I don't have it handy. We wasn't planning on talking about it, but those who want to see it, just look it up. It's hilarious. Oh my God! It's hilarious.
Ghetto Gronk on Instagram.
I saw it a couple places there. It's going around now, but it's hilarious. Yeah. Let's see. Connor says they'll get Penix or move up for Jaden Daniels. I saw online. Don't be surprised. Chargers trade Herbert so Harbaugh can go get JJ McCarthy. That would surprise me. I don't care if you say not. Don't be surprised, Connor. I would be surprised if that happened. I don't see that happening personally. I think that's not a move you make in your first year at a team. You kind of see what you got first in this guy and then go from there.
Has hyped him up coming out there saying how teams should be looking at him, what teams should be looking at him. Like,
yeah,
that doesn't spell out I want to draft the guy I just was with for the past few years.
Yeah,
you take a shot on Herbert.
Now Connor knows us well enough to know Penix Jr., Jaden Daniels. That's my guys. So I was sending Rob a couple of mock drafts I was doing today at work, and every single one of them had me getting Penix. I don't care what happens, as long as we get a quarterback and his name is Penix or Daniels. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Connor says maybe wait till the end and get a Brock Purdy pick. That's highly unlikely. I still think, and again, it depends on what we do in the draft, obviously, but if we do not get a quarterback, I actually would still be curious about Ryan Tannehill on a one-year deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Depending on the cost, I wouldn't. Yeah.
It would not be what I want to do, don't get me wrong, but if we don't get one in the draft, I mean, what are the choices you have? Who is out there otherwise that you think can be a legit start in this league? And even Ryan Tannehill calling him a legit start at this point in his career is kind of with quotation marks around it.
Yeah.
He's the best available, unless you want to go for Carson Wentz, who, you know, basically sat all last season. Yeah. I still think Carson Wentz has got some talent, arm strength-wise, just doesn't have the personality and the leadership skills to be a quarterback, and we don't have a guy that'd be a leader on that team. We don't have Saquon anymore. So, yeah. Like I said, that'd be my thing. All right. Let's see. He says, kind of old-school football rules. Now they say we roll tackle, soon two-hand touch football. I mean, it's all about safety. I mean, these guys, they want careers and lives after they've done playing football. And keep in mind, the NFL has been sued multiple times for safety issues. It's all about CYA at this point. That's what it's all really about. Connor says, too young to die. Yeah, 35 is ridiculously young to die. That's, like, insane.
Yeah.
you know, somebody who's 41 myself, I can't imagine 6 years ago my life just ending. That's, like I said, that's sad. It really is. Connor said, I knew it. Roberta was whacked off by some girl. LOL. Listen, this is a family show.
This is
Connor.
We can't
talk about that. We can't talk about that, Connor.
But I've got stories.
Was this about the OnlyFans? Are we going to talk about Sopranos now? I'm not sure which one. Connor says, I'm not paying if she's not fully naked. Oh, well, I don't know what it is. I just think, like I said, I that's my understanding is that they don't. Again, I'm not an OnlyFans guy. I don't understand the point of it personally, but whatever. If some guy is obsessed with a celebrity enough to give her money for see half naked pictures of her once a month, whatever. That's on you. We all spend money on stupid stuff. You know, it is what it is. But, and like I said, even if she's fully naked, that's on her. It's your decision, your body, your call. You do what you want. Connor says, great image of Drew naked. My eyes, help me. Yeah, that's pretty much what most people think. Connor says, it's not fair to defense, keep taking things away they can't do. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you still got people on offense at that point to get caught for that kind of stuff as well. I mean, they just don't tackle as often. It's all about the NFL covering its own tuchus, to put it nicely. And they got to do that. They have to. If they don't protect themselves from lawsuits, what happens in 10 years from now? Let's say there's a whole string of guys in wheelchairs because they got taken down, they got hip injuries and stuff like that, and they want to sue the NFL.
You put it in a contracting clause, like, hey, you know this is a contact sport, that you're not liable to sue the NFL. You could say that, but I have to sign
that. Let me ask you this.
I join up to the gym that...
When you look at a pack of cigarettes, what's the first thing you see on the label besides the name? Warning, gonna cause cancer. Warning, gonna kill you.
That's what's
true. But hold on, you still see people suing tobacco companies. It doesn't protect you.
Yeah, because when you buy, there's a difference. When you buy a pack of cigarettes, you do not write down to Marlboro or to Parliament or whatever you're buying your brand from an agreement with them.
But you are, if it's on the contract saying open these, they'll kill you.
There's no John Hancock written down. I mean,
but it's on the damn box.
Okay.
I'm just saying that stuff, they never work in court. I'm telling you, they don't. All they need to do is try to prove in any way, shape, or form that you did not do the best to protect them, and that becomes null and void. That's the way that works.
I mean,
so
I have to sign an agreement to go to the gym. And if I hurt myself at the gym, I can't sue them.
If you hurt yourself at the gym, you can still sue the gym. All you have to do is prove they were negligent in some way, shape, or form.
Just saying, you can put it in agreements.
Let's say you hurt yourself on a machine. When's the last time this machine was inspected? I need to see the maintenance done to this machine. There's plenty of ways to get around this stuff.
I'm just saying, you put it out there. Just saying, like, when you're running up behind someone, and I understand safety, but when you're running up behind someone and you can't, you know, lunge at their at the upper, you know, part of the body. Now you can't grab them by the hip and pull them down, which is actually probably not probably one of the safer ways to tackle someone. Granted, the accidents do happen. We're seeing it now more because there's less ways to tackle. Like,
yeah. What they have to do is get the defense lassos. You know, the lasso the play individual, knock them
down. I'm fine with that. There you go.
Lasso Football League. Sponsored by Ted Lasso.
Jerry Jones is going to ring it up.
Oh my God, it'd be hilarious. All righty, guys. Well, that's it for the day. We're going to be back on for you guys Wednesday. We're going off to defense here. We finished up with the offense. So we might do later on an episode with some late round quarterbacks. But for right now, we want to get to the bigger names here still and get a chance to get those out for you guys before the draft starts up there. So we'll have that for you here. The defensive side starting tomorrow with the safety position. We're doing a little reverse here. So we got the safety starting up here on Wednesday. We got a nice list. There's an interesting group of safeties coming out this year. This is an interesting one here. So a lot of guys that do like one thing and do one thing very well. It's kind of like not a lot of Swiss Army knives. So it's kind of like it's going to be interesting to see where they go based on what teams are needing what. So we'll be back again. I said Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As always, for you, as always, we are live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter/X, Twitch, Instagram, and of course, Rob's favorite,
LinkedIn page,
my LinkedIn profile. Oh, who doesn't love my LinkedIn profile? And of course, as always, we are available the next day on audio podcast there as well. So that'll be up on usually by 5 o'clock in the morning there, assuming everything works correctly on all the audio podcasts. I'm going to ask a little favor of y'all that watch it on audio, listen to audio. If you're listening on anything but Apple Podcast, and listen, if you're listening to Apple Podcast, listen, thank you. I'm not trying to take away from you guys there. We have almost 70% of our listenership is off of just Apple Podcast. We actually get more people off iHeartRadio than we get off Spotify. For some reason, Spotify does not like us. I don't know what it is. So if you're listening on Spotify or any of those things, do me a favor. Give us a 5-star. Help share the word. There are other people that use that platform as well, so we can help grow on there. We actually broke our record on most audio downloads here last month. So appreciate you guys that are on the audio. I kind of feel like you guys are kind of like the redhead stepchild at certain points there because we do the live show. So obviously, we kind of cater the show to people that are with us on the show live and communicating back and forth there. But listen, those of y'all that listen on audio, just as much appreciated. You know, feel free to pop in one of the live episodes whenever you can too as well and say hi. And we have a couple guys that do that periodically that listen, you know, exclusively really on audio, but every so often pop in the video and say, hey, what's up? So appreciate you guys as well.
Listen, I listen to a lot of podcasts at work, but Sundays during football, we're around.
Yes. Now, also, remember, mark your calendars there. The first 2 days of the draft will be live. So live on Thursday and Friday there. Saturday, we will do a show after the end of day three at that point there. Because let's be honest, you really don't care who the Lions drafted, the defensive lineman out of Christian Polytech College University of Texas of Abilene. But you'll care about the Giants picks, so we'll have that there for you. But like I said, day one, day two, we will be live for every single pick. That means we got like probably like, what is it, four and a half hours we did last time each night.
Something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, be prepared. You know, bring some drinks with you. Keep a bathroom close by. we'll be a long night there. Bring some wings and some nachos and all. We'll have a draft party here. We'll see you guys then. And again, we'll see you guys Wednesday to talk some safeties there. Appreciate you guys always for listening in. Appreciate you guys choosing us to be the one to get your draft and Giants news from there. Again, if you guys are interested in specific players, keep in mind on YouTube exclusively, we are popping all of these profiles individually onto our page there as well. So if you want to hear about just a couple of players you might have missed from a group that we're, you know, talking about their quarterback, receiver, running back, whatever the case may be there, that's all going up. We got 5 different draft profiles going up per day up until whenever we happen to run out. I don't know the math on that, but we've got 5 coming up per day there at that point there. Right now, we're in the process of finishing out the wide receivers going up individually, and then the running backs will start going up tomorrow. So, like I said, check that as well if you missed any of the prior episodes and you want to hear what our thoughts are on some of the players coming out there. We'll see you guys again Wednesday. Appreciate you guys as always. And as always, Giant fans,
go G-Man!
Go
G-Man!
Go G-Man!
Thanks for listening to Two Giant Goofballs,
a New York Giants podcast.
We appreciate your support. If you made it this long, you must have enjoyed it. So I am sure you have followed us on all the social media platforms. Of course, you have subscribed to the show on your favorite app as well and given us a top rating. Right? Right? Right?